just learning some things, and this was actually this study. I learned a little bit, Proverbs 17, chapter 17. I learned something actually this morning, and God just started working on my heart, and just kept going. And I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you. In Proverbs chapter number 17, in verse number 3, it says, "The fining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold. But the Lord tried the hearts."
Amen.
And I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at this, and I know Solomon is a wise man. He's the wisest man on the earth that has ever walked, besides the Lord Jesus, of course. But as he's going here, a lot of times Solomon speaks, and when he speaks in these Proverbs, we read through them. A lot of times you can read through the book of Proverbs every day of the month, and you can get a proverb, you can get a daily dose of wisdom. But a lot of times it goes in one ear and out the other.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, that's just what happens, because we're human. We'll hear a good truth, or we'll hear something, but we don't grasp it. We don't keep it. We hear it, but it goes away. But I want to try and open this up, and I want to try and help you guys tonight. And let's pray with you. You know, Father, I just ask for your spirit that you'd be with us now and to speak to us, Lord, in your name. I pray. Amen. Right here, the verse that Solomon's talking about, he's saying, "The fining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold." So I started doing some research, and I was like, okay, well, what is a fining pot? Because when I read through that, I mean, I know a pot or a pan, I use that for cooking and making some food. But what is a fining pot? And the furnace, I know the furnace is, in my general mind, I can think of a big old furnace where you put something in there, like you could cook a pizza. I mean, that, I think of it.
Amen.
That's all I think of. So I said, okay, well, what is it? Well, I started doing some research, and the fining pot, I probably won't be able to explain it the best way, but the fining pot here is for silver. It's for a very precious substance or precious material.
Yeah.
And then if you look, in the furnace is for gold. So the furnace is for something that's even better. But what does the furnace and the fining pot have to do with silver and gold? So I started looking a little bit more into it. The furnace, you heat it up. And when you heat it up, especially when they're going for gold, you put it in a furnace and it becomes finer and finer and finer. And the fining pot for silver becomes finer and finer and finer. When I was looking for a ring to ask my wife to be my wife, before she was my wife, she was my girlfriend, but I was going to ask her,
that.
You have to start looking at rings. And when you look at rings, you can't just look at a ring and say, oh, well, I guess it looks nice. There's a lot of people talk about there's the four C's for your ring. And it's the clarity, it's the cut. I'm misplacing the last two at the moment.
Color.
But the color and the clarity.
Yeah.
And so these are all four. Each one has a specific range where if it is in, it will be costly or it will be valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just based off of, okay, well, let me look for the very best one and go for that. I had to find out what my wife liked first.
Amen.
And so after I did that, I was able to get the right ring. But look at this. It says the fining pot is for silver. Okay, so we're making something very precious here, and the furnace for gold. But then there's these two things called semicolon.
Mm-hmm. Or,
yes, I believe so. If I'm wrong, correct me later. But it's what it's doing is it's saying, okay, now I've told you this, I'm going to compare it to something else.
Yeah.
It says, but the Lord tried the heart. So we've got a furnace for gold and a fining pot for silver. And what he's saying is the Lord is the furnace. And look at what he's making. He's going after our hearts. He's trying our hearts. He wants to get our hearts complete. And so the title of the message tonight is, how's your heart? How's your heart? I just have three questions about your heart. Because with your heart, there's many, many different things that we could go through. But God just opened up these three things that I want to bring out tonight. First one is, do you have a heart for souls? Do you have a heart for souls? Luke 19:10, if you'll flip over there with me, we'll all flip over there real quick. Luke chapter, my fat fingers can get there. 19, chapter 19, verse number 10. It says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. When Jesus came down, he had one goal in mind. The whole time that he came down, his whole entire life, from start to finish, he only had 3 years of ministry on this earth, but from start to finish all the way, he was always searching for souls. He was always trying to see, okay, how can I lead someone else to the Lord? He found ways to lead a woman at the well. He found ways to lead a lame man that was trying to get somewhere where he could be healed, and he found a way to reach him. He found a way to get him. And his whole life, even all the way up to the end, and even past death, when he rose, he made a way because he was always searching. He was always, how can I see someone saved? How can I tell someone about the Lord? How can I show them the truth that they don't have? So, my first question, do you have a heart for souls? Do you have a heart for souls? Second question, we're still looking at the heart here. Do you have a heart to do right? Do you have a heart to do right? Over in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3:27, it says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. Solomon, again, he's speaking here, and he's giving us a truth here, a truth that God told him to write down and put in the Bible. And he says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. Look at this. To whom it's due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it.
Come on.
If you know how to help somebody, and you don't, God says you're doing wrong.
Yep.
It's saying, don't withhold good. If you know how to be good, if you know how to help someone, you know about working on cars, or you know about how to do electricity, or you know about English, and someone needs help with English, and you don't, God says, you're not doing good.
Mm-hmm.
How are ways that you know how to do something, and you can help someone? For instance, this last Friday, me and my wife, we take Fridays because I get Fridays off. So Fridays become date days, where I try to take my wife out and the kids, and we try to go do something. So we were on our way, and we were going to go eat at a restaurant. So we're driving down the road, and my wife, she always points things out on the road, and it's a help because we were going, and I didn't even see the lady. She was stopped dead in the track on the road, and my wife's like, "Hey, watch out!" I go, "Oh, I thought she was going. I thought she was just going slow. One of those slow people that get in the way." But so I was like, okay, well, so I pulled around, and as soon as I passed, this came into my head. Withhold not good from him to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. When I can do something and I don't, God says I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah.
So immediately I turned to my wife and I said, we're going to pull over, we're going to see if she needs some help. So we probably went 20 feet ahead of her, and I pulled out to the side, and I backed up all the way, and I got out. I asked her if she needed any help, and of course she had someone coming, but they needed to jump the car or whatnot. So I tried to offer, took the jump box out, tried jumping it. It wasn't going, so they pulled it off to the side of the road. But I did what I could.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wasn't able to help all the way. I wasn't able to pull her car off the road because I did not have a chain or anything that I could pull her car off the road with. But I was able to at least stop and offer what I did have to her to help her.
Amen.
And that's what this verse is talking about. When it's in the power of thy hand to do it, do you have a heart to help people? Do you want to help people? And then thirdly, and we'll be done just very quick. Question number three is, do you have a heart to love? Do you have a heart to love? Run with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you know anything about the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a lot of times people call it or nickname it the chapter of love. But I want to show you something that someone showed me, which I was baffled when I saw it. So I'm asking if we have a heart to love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're talking about love. I'll read a couple verses, 1 and 2. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity. Charity is the fancy word for love. It's the agape love, a love that you can only get from God. I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, meaning I'm one of the monkeys that just clap my hands. I'm doing nothing. I'm doing no good for anybody. And though I have the gift of prophecies, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith. Now, wait a minute. Though I have all faith, look at this. So that I could remove mountains and have not charity,
come on,
nothing. Now, this reminds me of a verse in the Bible in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, which a lot of people would know. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I have to have faith in order to please God with whatever I do, whether I be going out to tell people about Jesus, whether I be going just doing right in general. If I want to please God with what I'm doing, then I have to have faith.
Right.
But look at this. It says, and though I have the gifts of prophecies, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, meaning I am completely sound, I know God's going to work, I have no doubt whatsoever, God is going to do something when I get on my knees and I pray and I ask God to do it, He's going to do it right then and there. I know this Bible is true, I know Jesus died, I know everything Amen. That He did, He did it for me. I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, because God says we'll be able to move mountains. And have not charity. So now we're back to love. I'm nothing. Right? Mm. So what God's saying here is, if you don't love, you're nothing. Right. You're nothing. You can do nothing.
Right.
You try to go out soul winning, but you don't love the people that you're going to knock on the doors and tell them about Jesus. If you don't love them enough to stand there and to show them from the Word and to compel them to know, you're nothing. Because even though you have all faith, if you don't have love. Now, the way that God showed this to me, he actually, at work recently, there was a man. He's pretty much, we call him the heathen in the factory. He likes it. He calls himself that. And so we just go along and play along. But he brought something out to me that I didn't even catch myself doing. I was like, oh, man. Now, he brings it out with humor. But I was like, oh, that is me. What he was talking about was, there's a lot of times, and this happens in a lot of factories, a lot of places where we work, or maybe even just in general in our home life, is we'll end up, you know, just having a joke about somebody, not something really hurtful or very wrong that we would think of. Oh, it's just a joke. We're just making fun of them this one time. Oh, they're laughing too. Or, oh, my friends are laughing too when I make this joke. It's okay. And that joke becomes bigger and bigger.
Yep.
And bigger. And that joke, what it does that you don't know, is it says you don't love them. It might be just a joke in the factory where there may be someone who they are high strung and no one wants to be around them. And, oh, so you make jokes about, yeah, you don't want to be around them. You don't want to stay over there. Oh, man. But you know what you're saying? You're saying, I don't love you.
Right.
You're saying, I don't care about you. And it might be not in the factory. How about we go to the home? Maybe there's someone in your house. Maybe there's someone in your family that you guys make a joke about. I know we have family members where we made a joke about it. But God's teaching me something here. If I'm making jokes about them, and I continue to make those jokes, I'm not caring about them. I like to end with an illustration, not a personal one, but I heard a famous preacher. He was talking about this subject. And he was talking about love, and he was he's a lawyer, and he was helping a pastor out. They were in a case. And the man hated this pastor, hated his church, didn't want his church standing, didn't want it. And so he was fighting against him. He was fighting. They were both going head to toe, and they were doing it for about 3 days straight. And they have a conference, and they're released. And, they go home for the night. They're coming back, and they're walking through the door, the pastor and the lawyer. The lawyer's a godly man. And he's talking with the pastor, and he says, man, I love that guy. Man, I want to get at it. We want to get this done. We want to meet him. And he, right before he walks into the courtroom, the pastor turns around to the lawyer and says, you need to love him. The pastor walks into the courtroom. The guy's right there. He walks up over to him. And he looks at him in the eyes and he says, I just want you to know that I love you. And I just want you to know, I want you to tell for a minute for you to spend any time in hell. I want you in heaven. And he gets to tell him about the Lord. And afterwards, he asks this man that they've been fighting with for 3 days now. He asks him, can I hug you? With tears in his eyes. Because this man, regardless, I don't know if he got saved or not. He says, can I just give you a hug? And the man says, yeah, you can. And he hugs him. He turns around and he walks away and he walks over to his lawyer and he says, you can't love him. You can't be my lawyer. Because there's a concept. If you can't love, you cannot serve God to the fullest.
That's good.
If that lawyer could not love, they could never win that case. Because it's not about whatever's going on. Circumstance, take it out of the picture. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. It matters. Do you love him?
That's good.
Because that's what Jesus has commanded us to do. Love your neighbors as yourself. This is the first commandment, which also goes with the second. They go hand in hand. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, and soul, and mind.
Mm-hmm.
Do you love him? Because once you're able to love him, then God can use you.
Amen. Amen.